Spine tingling greetings, everyone. The tunes are courtesy of Bobby Mackey and Stick the Landing, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow.
Now today it's a different place, all the same with a new face, with strange mysteries hanging in the air. People in their sane minds swear they see you today. Are you looking for the love they took away? Everyone knows that you couldn't bear the pain, so you took your life in the pouring rain.
Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers Podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from the Bermuda Triangle to the Arctic Circle to Times Square, from tiny mountain town to the biggest of cities, and everywhere in between, it is absolutely appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout-out goes to
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Arlington, Washington, Kushima, Japan, the ancient city of Sofia, Bulgaria, Crestview, Florida, and Shrewsbury, New Jersey. Today, we make our way to northwestern Connecticut. Destination, Dudley Town. Town status, ghost. Yup, good old ghost town. Dudley Town is situated in what's known as the Dark Entry Forest. Sounds, well, dark. Established in 1738, a handful of families called this place home, around 25 or so. While it had life in its lungs long ago, not a living soul is around here now. Sadly, due to vandals, thugs, and trespassers, and probably the weather elements had something to do with it as well, not much left remains here of Dudley Town. And it's because of the dishonest people that this place is a no-go when it comes to visiting. Are you near the area? Don't come here. Now, while there are many ghost towns scattered about that you can go visit, like St. Elmo, Ashcroft, Independence, all three of those being in Colorado, Nevada City, Montana, Good Springs, Nevada, Goldfield, Arizona, and so many others. Hell, you could even live in some. You cannot live here. You cannot visit here. If you attempt it, you may end up knowing the local law more than you had wished. Only in your state.com warns folks this. Dudley Town, Connecticut cannot be legally visited, only feared from afar. The owners don't take kindly to trespassers, and police frequently patrol the area to ticket vehicles. And you know why it's off limits? The answer? It's simple, and it's disturbing. Vandals. These kind of people really do ruin it for everyone. I absolutely love ghost towns, and it's a crying shame when things like this happen. Dudley Town could have been a really neat tourist spot if it was given a chance. Like, look at Bannock, Montana. I did an episode on that one back in March of 2023, episode 209, titled Walking Back into Time in Bannock and a Corrupt Sheriff's Hanging. When you walk into these special locations, it's hard not to close your eyes and imagine how it was when they were active, and for some, booming, especially those old mining ghost towns. Yes! I love looking at the old buildings, and again, my imagination just kind of runs wild. But when people think that it's okay to steal, destroy, vandalize, it's kind of like lecturing a small child, right? They don't know any better. You grab their hand, you look in their eyes, and you preach how they should treat this place like it's your home. You wouldn't destroy your own home, would you? Sad stuff. I can talk about it all day, but I will stop now. You're welcome. Dudley Town was named after the Dudley family. Many had come here to start new lives and call this land their new home. Many believe to this day that this particular family, the Dudleys, were cursed. They tried their hardest to harvest things, grow things here, but they really weren't that successful at all. Some say, hey, curse. Others say, well, it was the soil. Many of the Dudleys, they would get very ill. Some met with horrible, untimely deaths. In an interview several years ago, actor Dan Aykroyd, love that guy, had shared that, in his opinion, Dudley Town was the most haunted place on Earth. And there's more. The much-loved and respected couple in the paranormal and supernatural communities, some consider them the king and queen of the paranormal, the late Ed and Lorraine Warren, had visited this area sometime in the 1970s and had declared Dudley Town possessed by demons. NewEnglandHistoricalSociety.com talks about the curse. Quote, "The curse, they say, began with Edmund Dudley beheaded by Henry VIII on a charge of treason. Then Edmund's son John, Duke of Northumberland, plotted to install his daughter-in-law, Lady Jane Grey, as Queen of England. The plot failed, and he and Jane both lost their heads. The settlers cleared the land and formed a community that farmed flax, wheat, and corn. Then, in 1792, came the first untimely death. Gershon Hollister was murdered in a home owned by William Tanner, who lived next door to Abel Dudley. Afterward, Tanner started talking about wild animals and demons and then went completely mad. Abel Dudley became the next cursed victim. He lost all his possessions and his mind. The Nathaniel Carter family lived in Abel Dudley's house, but then moved to Binghamton, New York. There, they built a log cabin. One day, while Nathaniel was away, natives killed his wife, captured his three children, and burned his house. When he returned, they killed him too. After the American Revolution, General Heman Swift returned to his home in Dudley Town. There, he lost his third wife to a lightning strike and went stark raving mad." Unquote. Now, basementofthebizarre.com shares additional things about the supposed curse. Accounts include sudden deaths and disappearances, such as settlers like Gershon Hollister, who died in a mysterious fall during a barn raising in 1792. Later, a farmer named John Patrick Brophy experienced a series of tragic events. His wife allegedly lost her life to illness. His two children disappeared into the forest. He vanished soon after. Additionally, several prominent residents were said to have been driven to insanity by the curse. Abel Dudley is mentioned in lore as suffering from dementia or insanity late in life. Unquote. Now, if memory serves correct, Abel also did live to be in his 90s, which back in those days, especially in the 1700s or early 1800s, that was rare. Now, the article that I just read mentions Gershon Hollister. Both articles mention him, yes. But the recent one that I just talked about says that he died, quote, "in a mysterious fall during a barn raising." Now, besides this article, I had not seen that anywhere else. Everyone else and everywhere else claims that this man, Gershon Hollister, was brutally murdered. So that's what I'm sticking with. Gershon Hollister meets a bloody end at Dudley Town in 1792. He breathes his last breath in his neighbor's home, the home of William Tanner. What was the motive? No clue. It said after the murder, the killer, William Tanner, well, he went crazy. He said that he would see these mythical type creatures that obviously they don't exist coming in and out of the forest and so on. Was it a ruse? Is he faking insanity? Or did the karmic world or the Dudley Town curse catch up with Tanner for taking a life and he was doomed to go utterly insane?
Thank you.
Long ago, this site was used as burial grounds for Native Americans, more specifically the Mohawk people. That's always a big no-no. Sacred burial grounds or any type of burial ground should remain exactly that, a place for the dead, a place for the living to come and visit if they would like, right? Resting for all eternity. Well, not for having buildings or schools or roads or bloody towns built over them. You're just asking for angry spirits to wreak havoc and more than a handful of unexplained occurrences and hauntings. Just saying. Now, I found some interesting things from listfirst.com. It's always interesting reading stuff from them, and I thought that, you know, it'd be fun to add it to the mix, as we all love some spooky tales. So here we go. It is believed that the last resident of Dudley Town, John Patrick Brophy, spent the rest of his life searching for his wife and children after they disappeared without a trace in the early 1900s. Some believe that they were kidnapped and tortured by the Dudley Town ghosts, while others were of the opinion that they fell into the clutches of a serial killer. Either way, they were never seen again. There also have been a number of more recent disappearances in Dudley Town. In 1945, a group of teenagers went into the woods here and never returned. In 1975, Susan Denham decided to hike in the woods and disappeared. She never returned. And as recently as 2019, a group of ghost hunters went to Dudley Town to see if they could capture footage of the rumored paranormal activity. While there, one of the group members, David, seemingly vanished into thin air. Fortunately, David resurfaced a few days later, but had no memory of what had happened to him. This is where things get tricky. Residents nearby believe that because the area is a popular hiking and camping destination, there would be more disappearances if the rumors of ghosts and such were true. The Connecticut State Police have even investigated the alleged disappearances, but found nothing to support them. A journalist filed a Freedom of Information Act request in 2019, but police responded by saying there had been no missing persons cases reported in the area believed to be Dudley Town in the last 20 years. Unquote. So yeah, that makes sense because I myself, when I saw these things, okay, I had a name, Susan Denham, and then I tried to look in the 1945 area where a group of kids went missing. I did not find any information whatsoever. I tried to search in different kind of things, put it in different kind of words. I did spend some time in that and I could not find anything. Because, you know, like when I do like things like the Bermuda Triangle or the Bennington Triangle or different things, I do try to find things like that because that's important. Missing people. Maybe, you know, that one person knows something. But anyways, couldn't find anything. So earlier you heard about Edmund Dudley being beheaded in 1510. When I write these episodes, sometimes I find inconsistencies or articles claiming something while other reports share something different. Well, this time it was something so simple that all you had to do was throw on your research boots, do simple things like search death dates and reign dates of kings to find out which specific king had made orders to have Dudley executed. Now, you see, some accounts share that it was King Henry VII, while others say that it was his son, King Henry VIII. A little research would show the actual king responsible for the beheading execution of Edmund Dudley was King Henry VIII, a man that was responsible for several thousand executions. King Henry VII, he was no lamb either, though. He would, in his 23-ish years of reign, have around 200 people sent to their graves. Mere change, considering his son's high execution numbers. Henry VIII, on the other hand, was temperamental, violent, power-hungry, and thousands, as I mentioned, would die under his reign. No one was safe, not even his wives. He is definitely, for another episode, all of his own. Now, Henry VII simply could not have been responsible, as his reign ended on the date of his death, April 21st of 1509. The believed cause of death is tuberculosis, or back then, most likely known as consumption. Or maybe it had a different name before that. Who knows? Because this was in the 1500s, the early 1500s. Now, Dudley, he would die several months after King Henry VII's death and the beginning reign of King Henry VIII. It is interesting that Henry VIII, who at the time of his father's death was Duke of York, he was not the first in line for the crown. It was Henry VII's first son, as is custom, obviously, Arthur, the Prince of Wales. But he was a very sick individual, and he sadly does die. Now, I wonder if Arthur, it's hard to fathom, like, you know, if he had survived, would his reign have been as bloody and violent as his brother, Henry VIII? I guess it's one of those what could have been moments. I think it's safe to say that at least two lives would have most likely been spared. Out of his three wives, two were beheaded on his orders, Anne Boleyn and Catherine Howard. Edmund Dudley, he was a financial agent for King Henry VII. Not only that, but he was the president of the king's council. To say the king trusted this individual, Dudley, well, it would be an understatement. You don't just throw anybody in those important roles. Things are going exceptionally well for Dudley. That is until his king dies and the bloodthirsty, power-hungry Henry VIII is crowned. Once that happened, Edmund Dudley's fate was sealed. Now, Henry VIII, he charges Edmund Dudley of constructive treason, and he ends up being imprisoned in the Tower of London, yet another future episode topic that I have been working on. And Dudley is beheaded on August the 17th of 1510 at Tower Hill, a well-known spot that is known for a high number of public executions to have taken place there, starting as early as the late 14th century up to somewhere in the 18th century. Disappearances, murder, heartbreak, a family connection to a royal beheading, and so much more. Dudley Town, Connecticut, had it all. Remember, if in the area, this location is indeed off limits. Please admire from afar, my friends.
That concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all swell. Haven't heard every single one yet? No need to lose any sleep over it whatsoever, my friends. All you have to do is hit up any of those podcast platforms, such as Deezer, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, CastBox. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks for stopping by, and have a great day, and
I will see you next week.
Like what you hear? Go check out Stick the Landing on YouTube. They are awesome.